the whole 6010. Hello and welcome to Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save.
Yeah.
It is Sunday, December 12th, 11th, Monday, December 12th.
I've got December 12th.
Yeah, so
that's Monday. So we're talking
Monday,
on
so
the 11th.
It's today, Monday for us
Tired.
It's probably Monday for you guys wherever you're at. Our friend Liz Loza is in California. Liz, I think it's a lot warmer where you are than where it is that Field and I are at. We're getting snow right now.
Snow? No, actually, I was telling Field this morning on FF Now that it is rainy and chilly, like legit rainy and chilly in Los Angeles. It was like I was communing with the East Coast, having no longer been there this week. I felt like I was together with you.
Yeah, I think it dropped to 57 in LA today, Daniel.
Oh,
so certainly we're keeping our warmest wishes, quite literally, to Liz Loza, who will somehow find a way. I think it was 12 degrees when I woke up this morning.
It was awful.
Why do we do this to ourselves? Never mind. Different topic for a different podcast.
Football? You know what? Football. We are one game away. From the playoffs being here, Field.
Playoffs. Yeah, this is the concluding week of the fantasy football regular season, which means Monday Night Football, Patriots and Cardinals is going to be the game that decides whatever outstanding matchups are yet to be decided.
Yep.
And when you said playoffs, Daniel, and only being one game away, I thought you were insinuating the fact that, as of last check, the Detroit Lions are just one game back in the win column in the NFC playoff picture.
What do I have to say about that? Well, plenty. I've got to tell you. But I'm going to save a lot of it.
Save
we got some things to get into here today. But unbelievably pumped with the way that this Detroit Lions team has played. And I don't think it's going to go anywhere, Field. I think they're going to keep playing harder on the stretch.
Yeah. They are their head coach right now.
That's
the signature Dan Campbell bravado and confidence and swagger and empathy for his players that showed up during Hard Knocks is starting to show up on the field. They just play so damn tough and they play for each other. It's like this family that loves to play ball. I mean, it's very fun
to
watch.
Awesome.
You'll talk about it more later.
Awesome.
Unfortunately, though, not to be the bearer of bad news, but we have a handful of injuries that we're going to start the show with, Daniel.
Were you the bearer of bad news the whole time?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, All five years, you were the bearer of bad news, and
yeah,
I had
you
no
couldn't
idea
tell.
About
you
it?
Couldn't tell. I still have the costume, as a matter of
Stop
fact.
Stop it.
Yeah,
no, you don't.
I'm going to get a tattoo of it. Oh, wait, you already
so
have that
I already
tattoo.
Have that.
Yeah, never mind. I'll let you keep that tattoo to yourself. Anyways, injuries, shall we?
Let's do some injuries.
Yeah, let's rip through them because we don't have a full, we don't have all the information on all these injuries.
So
what we're going to do is pass along the injuries that we are aware of right now and what we know as of 7:36 Eastern time on Sunday night. And we'll push forward throughout the week and add more context to them. But probably the biggest injury was Deebo Samuel of the 49ers, who fumbled on a play, looked like it was a knee injury. It was later classified by the 49ers as an ankle injury. He missed the rest of the game. Initial reporting suggests it's not believed to be serious. The big question here, though, is that we've got 4 weeks left in the regular season and potentially less in the fantasy football season of yours. So whether we see Deebo before your season is over is TBD. We'll discuss more of this 49ers offense throughout the week. T. Higgins, this was a weird one for the Bengals.
It was.
One snap played. And had a hamstring injury. And after the game, Zach Taylor basically said, like, didn't look good during warmups, like, didn't really want to have him out there. But he was active and was off the injury report on Friday. I know Stefania has a lot of passionate thoughts on that. But if you started T. Higgins today, I'm sorry. Like, you got screwed. If T. Higgins plays, you're supposed to play him.
Yep.
And he has a hamstring injury, which we'll keep an eye on. Tyler Boyd has a hand injury. He left the game, so it became the Jamar Chase show, which is usually a pretty good thing. We'll talk about that at some point, I'm sure. Damian Pierce had an ankle injury for the Texans, who played incredibly frisky today.
Yep.
He had 22 rushes for 78 yards and a touchdown before he got hurt, but he is out. Russell Wilson to the concussion protocol. It was a nasty hit. It looked right away when he fell down. He fell down hard. You kind of knew where things were headed. He left the game late for the Broncos, having his best game, if not this season, certainly one of the best games this season. Kenny Pickett also left because of the concussion protocol. So a lot of injuries today, Daniel. A couple of quarterbacks. So even though they haven't been fantasy stars, there is at least some notable tie-ins to them for other players whose fantasy value could be impacted one way or the other.
There absolutely is. We will have more from Stefania on our Tuesday show heading into week 14 now. We are through bye weeks.
Yeah.
We have no more bye weeks, so we're talking about having a full slate of players outside of injuries going forward.
Yes.
So These will all be big for us to keep an eye on. How about another player that we've been keeping an eye on all year, Fields Yates? And I don't have a whole lot to add other than just let's talk about how good at football Justin Jefferson is.
Yeah, at this point of the season, Daniel, like not everything can be a takeaway. Like, oh, he did this, therefore he is this going forward. Sometimes it's just like, thank you, right? If you needed to win your matchup today to either clinch a certain seed in your playoffs, yep, or you just needed to win to get into the playoffs,
yeah,
Justin Jefferson helped you because he didn't find the end zone. And he had 33.3 fantasy points. He went off a career-high 223, I think it might have been 213, but 223 catches. I'm sorry.
Wow.
That'd be a lot. Hold on. Not that many catches. I think it was 123. No, okay. It was 11 catches for 223 yards for Justin Jefferson. Just ridiculousness. Another week where he is at or near the very top of the wide receiver board. He's been remarkable all season. And the Vikings, because of their defense, Daniel, who has now allowed over the past three games, Mac Jones,
yep,
Mike White, and yep, Jared Goff to go off. The Vikings are going to throw it every single week. Justin Jefferson is almost always going to have the game script that you love.
Four straight weeks that Vikings defense has allowed over 400 yards of total
offense. It's a franchise record. Yeah.
And that's awful.
That's not good.
That is not good at all. Yeah. But I do want to point out one thing that is good, and that's Liz Loza. Because Liz, you have a props column that you always throw out there for people, and you had Adam Thielen on that list, and I think that definitely hit here this week.
Well, actually, the genesis of it began, or I should say the catalyst for it began when I was sitting in studio and we were talking about how you look at the line sometime, you look at the over-under, and if there's a projection with a lot of points, then maybe you want to take pieces or lean on pieces in those matchups. And we talked about Detroit and Minnesota going head-to-head, and I said, you know what? I think I might mess with an Adam Thielen prop, a receptions prop. And then when one came out at 4.5, I said, I'm going to hammer the over on this because to the point that Field just made, this Vikings defense is giving up bushels of yards, which means, yes, Justin Jefferson's going to go off, but even with the addition of TJ Hockenson, there is going to be plenty of targets to go around. Adam Thielen has cleared at least 7 targets in 10 of his last 12 games. He continues to see a ton of volume. Now, I would exercise caution before just setting and forgetting him for week 15 because the Minnesota Vikings will be facing the Indianapolis Colts, and I am guessing that the over-under on that effort not going to be as high as it was this week.
Probably not as high this week. It was a very high over-under. This is part of why we like this game so much between the Lions and the Vikings. Yeah. One thing I do want to note really quickly.
Yeah.
We said, obviously, you got to start Dalvin Cook this week, but I just want to take a little time to talk
Victory
about
laughing,
how
buddy.
Good my Lions defense, their run defense is so good. 5 straight weeks, I said, coming into this game, they have kept opposing running backs under 10 fantasy points. This week, Dalvin Cook, again, held under 10 fantasy points, and it's not like he didn't get a ton of usage.
Yeah. Oh, you got tons.
16 carries for 26 yards.
The best part was, though, it nearly was 6 points more.
I know.
And here's the reason why. If you're watching the game, you know this play already, but Dalvin Cook fumbled near the goal line for the Vikings, and the best part was, it wasn't even supposed to be a run. Mm-hmm. They were setting up a pop pass, which you've seen a lot of recently, where the running back the running back looks like he's going to take a pitch or a handoff and try to run in for a touchdown. And then right before he gets to the line of scrimmage, he gathers himself and throws the ball to a wide open tight end who was wide open,
He was wide open, yes.
And Cook, it was like he overthought it and he fumbled it. And so you lose 2 points for the fumble. You would have gained 4 points for a wide open touchdown pass. That's going to swing some matchups. But you're right, Daniel. Be careful with your Lions defense facing opposing running backs. They draw the Jets next week. So Zonovan Knight, we'll talk more about,
could
be in for a tougher day. But let's talk about Jared Goff, Daniel, because all throughout the week, I mean, Mike and I clashed on this. I think kind of all made out okay, right?
Like, yeah.
But I kept banging the gavel, and so did you. Like, Jared Goff is going to go off today. He's playing at home. He's much better indoors. And the Vikings defense is straight up putrid. They have a negative point differential, and they're 10-3.
Yes.
They're all bad defense.
Which is crazy.
They're really bad on defense. Really bad.
And you're looking at Jared Goff this week being a streamer to be able to help you get to a certain spot, right? This is what streaming options are all about. This matchup was perfect.
It was
for
perfect.
Jared Goff.
And he cashed in. He was great.
He cashed in. Now, I want to say really quickly, I don't think that I'm trusting Jared Goff next week when they go to the Jets. They play on the road, and they are outdoors. However, this week, I was all in on Jared Goff, and I think that he has helped revitalize this offense in part because of the pass catchers. We saw DJ Chark come on as well.
He's been good the past couple weeks.
Is he someone here outside of bye weeks? And Liz, I hear you want to jump in
on this. Come on, take it.
Outside
take
of bye weeks, like, do you see DJ Chark as being someone that you can use in fantasy now that we've reached sort of the playoff part of our schedules?
No, you're right that he is not an everyday. Like, I don't think anybody outside of Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs and some of these more elite players are set it and forget it players. This is the playoffs. You're going to have to be a little bit judicious when you set your lineups. You have to look at matchups. If there's not enough volume for Chark, it's not going to matter. So this situation, though, was one that was primed for a breakout. I ranked him inside my top 45, which wasn't even high enough, you know? So I think you have to look at these things. You make a great point about the Jets defense upcoming. I also just want to say, when you look at Jared Goff, sometimes we get a little bit, I don't know, hung up on statistics and numbers and algorithms in fantasy. If you think about the way that he performed and succeeded in Los Angeles, he had elite playmakers, a really good slot safety valve who was great after the catch, and an elite offensive line. Well, what does he have right now in Detroit? That same pattern for him, that same blueprint is working very well. He is still going to be matchup dependent. But when the planets align, they align big.
Yeah, they really do. And honestly, all of these wide receivers, it was a down week for Amon Ross St. Brown, but that's just because Jared Goff spread the ball around to everybody, including Penei Sewell.
Hilarious.
Who got a catch.
But you know, things are going good when Penei Sewell has a third down catch to basically seal the game.
Yep.
And so I think the takeaway, because there are some things that do bring about a takeaway, is that for the rest of this season, if you have been playing the streaming game, it's going to require multiple roster spots,
yeah.
But Jared Goff is certainly an ideal streamer in certain spots. And again, two things have to align. And I know this sounds indoors.
Yes.
He's just a much better indoors quarterback. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I don't know if it's because he's from California, played his first few years with the Los Angeles Rams. I don't know. He's better indoors.
Okay? Just look at the splits and you'll see that.
And then, of course, obviously the matchup matters too. Next week is kind of the opposite. You've got the Jets on the road. Jets, very stingy defense. I'm avoiding Jared Goff, but if you are playing the streaming game and I'm in a league where I am playing the streaming game and I started Jared Goff, my only other option was actually Mike White. I guess I have Tom Brady too, but I wasn't touching him with the 49ers. And the gamble paid off today. Well, I guess it was a calculated decision. It worked out well. Let's get to the running backs quickly, though, because early in the week, as we had the conversation about DeAndre Swift, I was like, Daniel, we think we're confident for this week, but we are bracing for the possibility of things looking like they did in the past as well.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Swift, who, by the way, after a week off the injury report, was back on the injury report. Played just 23 snaps today. He played two more than Justin Jackson. He played three fewer than Jamal Williams. The lesson, Daniel, is that we really can't get too far ahead of ourselves with this Lions backfield. If you're going to guess, it's just basically guessing right. If you guess right on Jamal Williams, it's the game in which he scores at least one touchdown, which he's been doing all season, seems like. And today, he had no touchdowns. And as a result, he also had no catches. So he had a very bad fantasy game. A total of 3.7 fantasy points. DeAndre Swift, if you're going to guess right, it's the day that he is featured or finds the end zone. Neither happened today. He had just 6.9 fantasy points. So while there's plenty of talent for DeAndre Swift, one game should not have been enough to persuade us that he was all the way back.
Yeah, and I think part of this is being able to understand that this Detroit Lions team, as much as DeAndre Swift is clear in a way, the most athletic and has the, of everything, he has more
talent, juice
than everybody, right? They still want to use all of, every single running back that they have. Freaking Justin Jackson got in the end zone today.
Daniel, right now, and you can say this better than anybody, we can't fault the Lions for anything they're doing offensively.
They're worried about winning football games.
Yeah, and it's working. This is not other offenses who are lamenting various things that they are or are not doing, and they're not succeeding. Like, this is very clearly a formula that is working in Detroit. So far be it for us to say, hey, more of this, more of that. They keep scoring 25-plus points every time they roll out of bed on Sunday morning.
I will just say this to end this out. If Jared Goff is a streamer when he is indoors or plays at home, then I'm going to say the same thing about DJ Chark. Next week, DJ Chark not going to be a streamer for me on the road against the Jets, likely with Jared Goff under center. But somebody that I would keep an eye on as you need people potentially down the stretch.
I mean, week 17, though, which could be championship week, depending on your settings, you've got the Lions at home to the Bears. Yeah. So, if you're playing the streaming game and you can afford to roster them for the next couple of weeks, I'm not playing them next week. We'll get to that more later. But Jared Goff could be a very valuable Week 17 quarterback.
Liz, let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. There was question marks leading into Trevor Lawrence. Is he going to play or not this weekend? He came in and he played pretty stinking great. Yeah.
368 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. He also rushed for 7 yards and another score. Trevor Lawrence has been so up and down. Like, there are moments that he flashes and we see this generational talent that was promised, right, as the number one overall pick. And then he does something like he does last week where he's just flat. And I know he got banged up and his leg got folded up in that game, but it always seems to be a bit of a roller coaster. Maybe that's part of being a young quarterback and he has a new head coach and a young team and all that. But if you played him this week, then you're very happy you did because he had his best game of the season. He has now completed 71% of his passes in 4 of his last 5 games. So given that sample size, the arrow seems to be pointing up on Lawrence, who's also finding not just his groove, but finding the players that help lift him. Again, want to issue a little warning of caution, though, because next week he's facing the Cowboys. And, well, we know that that's probably a stiff matchup, despite what happened today.
Yeah, this week.
Against Houston.
Yeah.
I'm already excited for that game.
Look at what he did this week. And, like, so Christian Kirk was fine, nothing special, but Zay Jones really looked great. Yeah. And more than Zay Jones, Evan Engram just balled out with a game of his life here.
Oh my God. I mean, this is just classic, though. I guess classic Evan Engram, but more importantly, it's classic tight end, right? Mm-hmm. So Evan Engram, first round pick for a reason several years ago. The guy is a super talented athletic freak. He got a $10 million contract this offseason. Like, he is a very, very capable player. Consistency has bothered him and injuries have bothered him throughout his career. It's not that he had been terrible throughout the season. He'd been okay, but nowhere close to what he did today when he had 11 catches for 162 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns, good for 39.2 fantasy points. And how about this? Mike Clay notes that after this performance, he's now the 4th highest scoring tight end of the season.
Oh my gosh.
So that's why this is typical tight ends, is that, like, I have Evan Engram in a league and I benched him. I guess I didn't bench him. I played Dalton Schultz over him. You know why? Because Dalton Schultz had been catching passes so far this season. But this is the wonders of fantasy football. You know, I'd love to tell you that, like, this means Evan Engram has to be started every single week going forward. It doesn't guarantee that. But as you're evaluating your tight end options, if you are in a rut right now, at least he offers an athletic profile if he is still available in your league, and he is in 55% of leagues.
I think that's where I'm at as well. And with everything that Liz said, the idea that Evan Engram was so involved is just as much about Trevor Lawrence being able to, like, take the next step, being able to do the next thing with this offense, get multiple people involved. One of the people that I was unfortunately disappointed, though, in not getting involved was Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
In a game in which Trevor Lawrence throws for 368 passing yards, I would have thought that Travis Etienne would be a little bit more involved, but he wasn't.
You know, and he doesn't catch passes.
No, he doesn't.
It's weird because that was what he does as well. Like,
I know.
Coming into college. And again, I'm not blaming them. They're doing a great job on offense of late, and they had a monster day today, Daniel, but he hasn't been catching passes at all recently.
He has not had more than 3 targets in a game since week 7.
Not even catches. Targets. Week 7, that's crazy.
4 straight games under 10.3 fantasy points. It has been really tough sledding. Guess who they get next week after having 4 straight games under 10.3
Cowboys,
fantasy points?
Yeah.
It's the Cowboys.
Yeah, so a tough matchup, as the Cowboys have been one of the stingiest defenses to opposing running backs this season.
Still super excited to watch this game because I think there's a lot to be excited about with these Jaguars.
Drama there, some drama for sure. Let's go to the Ravens, who got J.K. Dobbins back, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everybody out there who heard anything, and I didn't say a whole lot about J.K. Dobbins.
Most of us
didn't.
And
that's kind of the point, right? Is that, like, he came back, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, the last time he came back from his first injury, they sort of slow played him, didn't get a ton of burn. He was fine, not really catching any passes. What if he gets, like, 10 carries and rushes for like 57 yards today and has no targets?
By the way, there's like 3 or 4 running backs.
Yeah, there's Gus Edwards and Kenyon Drake.
Tyler Huntley's going to run the football.
Yeah, and then also,
was it Tyler? You know, Tyler Huntley.
Tyler Huntley. Okay. But anyways, he goes off. 15 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown. 18 fantasy points, because again, he had 0 targets. So at least we're right on that part.
Yes.
And I'll just say this. It's going to be hard to replicate 120 yards on 15 carries plus a touchdown in any given week. That's just a tough thing for any running back to do. But what I will say, J.K. Dobbins looked much more explosive than the first time when he came back earlier on this season. He had a long run that nearly went for a touchdown where he kind of, like, ran out of gas. And you're like, okay, like he's not full Voltron J.K. Dobbins, but he looked better. And I suspect that his role will only continue to increase going forward. Meanwhile, Tyler Huntley got hurt for the Ravens. Concussion protocol, I believe. Yes, he had a concussion, and he was ruled out for the game, which brought aboard Anthony Brown, brought it from the practice squad yesterday. So Anthony Brown took over for the rest of the game. John Harbaugh insinuated after the game that Tyler Huntley would be back next week. But, dude, I miss Mark Andrews, man.
Yeah.
And I like, this is the stickiest situation in fantasy football. When you have a guy who's so good and plays at a spot where you have to play him, and it's like, dude, Mark Andrews had 2 catches for 17 yards. How about this? Over his past 4 games, 12.3, 11, 9.4, and 3.7.
That's going the wrong way, Field.
Going the wrong way, dude. And like, you know, I was Team Kelsey before the season, but it wasn't like I was Team Kelsey over Team Andrews thinking that like Mark Andrews would have games where he has 3.7 fantasy points, right? Like I thought Mark Andrews might have like, I don't know, 80% of whatever Travis Kelce offers you. Not the case. It just, I don't know what exactly it is, but this passing offense is just one of the least efficient in all of the NFL. You can't do anything about it, though.
Really frustrating.
You really can't do anything about it. A note, by the way, on J.K. Dobbins is like 26 snaps today, like only 5 more than Gus Edwards. So yep. Again, I'm not saying that it wasn't a great performance, because it certainly was, but there are some elements of it that still, in a different game, 26 snaps for J.K. Dobbins could easily be like 7.5 fantasy points, yes, as opposed to 18.
They were uber efficient snaps. Super as efficient well. Snaps.
Yep.
Liz, what do you want to add in on this Baltimore offense?
2 things. Next week, they see Cleveland, right? Cleveland is notorious for playing the division tight. Cleveland also pretty leaky against runs up the middle. So I do feel confident about at least J.K. Dobbins' efficiency, because I think Field is completely right. He did seem so much more fresh and explosive this go around than his first attempt at returning. So I'm not terribly worried about a bunch of volume, because you have to imagine these are 2 low volume teams in terms of passing, right? High ground effort teams next week. Also, just on Mark Andrews, like, of course the 2 catches stink, especially when you consider where you drafted him and where you need him, but he did see 6 looks, and this game featured 2 backup quarterbacks, as you just noted. So yeah. Inefficient, yes, but again, it's tight end, and I'm going to continue to lean towards volume. The process there was right, even if the result sometimes does go sideways. Ugh,
bothersome still.
Doesn't feel good, though.
Doesn't feel good. Let's talk about some quarterbacks.
No.
Quarterbacks that I'm just not so sure what you can do right now with them. So, Deshaun Watson returned from suspension. Obviously, last week was his first game back. He plays the Houston Texans, and you would have thought maybe he asserts himself as a top 10 fantasy option, because that's where he's been. Are you saying you do?
No, I'm going to say to you, and I know you're leading into this, but like, I've now seen 2 weeks of Deshaun Watson, and if you're going to start him next week, you're starting him in a playoff matchup. Field? Yeah,
it's in Daniel. So, like, I get it. I heard all the excuses for last week. Rust, first game back, small sample size, atmosphere, all those things. I heard him. But just like 2 games in, they have 1 offensive touchdown with Deshaun Watson. 1.
Yeah.
And it's like, at some point, like, how long does that last? And what's the reason to believe that it just turns around and gets better? Now, here are the saving graces for Deshaun Watson, if you're looking for some. They played home the next couple weeks. Obviously, a much more welcoming atmosphere as opposed to a hostile atmosphere, which has been the case in each of his first 2 games. But they played Baltimore. Good defense.
Yep.
They played the Saints, who we just saw them last Monday night, played one of their more spirited efforts. I mean, they've had great defensive performances. They're inconsistent as heck, but they do have a lot of defensive talent.
Yep.
At the Commanders. And then at Pittsburgh, who, you know, by hook or by crook, has been putting it together of late. So, bottom line is that I think some people felt like they kind of had Deshaun Watson lined up, and from week 13 on, they had their quarterback the rest of the way. I'm not sure that's the case. He had 16.3 fantasy points today, so he did kind of figure it out a little bit. He did have a 33 rushing yard effort, which helps, and he has been, that's 54 yards in 2 games on the ground. That helps a little bit. But, yeah, it's been ugly, Daniel. And, we'll have a conversation this week about whether he's an obvious top 10 play or not.
I was just going to say, this will be a really interesting week to look at the rankings to be able to figure out where Deshaun Watson falls within that, knowing that you're trusting him here in the first week of the playoffs. And it's not just Deshaun Watson. Dak Prescott falls into that same conversation here, because you know what? He almost doesn't fall into the conversation, because he has sort of played himself out of, I shouldn't say that. Dak Prescott has not played himself out of the starting lineup for my fantasy team. The problem is, the Cowboys defense is so good and they're running the ball so unbelievably well that Dak just doesn't need to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. That's not the recipe for the Cowboys' success this year. And so Dak's fantasy value is massively limited because of the way that they are playing football.
So here's what I would say. Unfortunately, preseason expectations are what are getting in the way right now for Dak Prescott. Right, you drafted him to be an elite fantasy quarterback.
Right.
That's what he's been, right? He has been an elite fantasy quarterback. High floor, high ceiling. You're getting a low floor right now. Yeah, you're getting a medium floor and a medium ceiling right now. And that's the problem, is that he's like hanging on by a thread, right? But we're talking about back-to-back-to-back games under 17 fantasy points for Dak after three straight good games. You've dealt with the injury already for here for Dak. So it just, like, a little bit frustrating is all I would say if you drafted Dak Prescott, because he has been in previous seasons capable of carrying your roster for a month straight. He has not had that stretch at all this season.
No, but he has had that stretch, unfortunately, for the Dallas Cowboys in real football, yeah. Which is great for Dallas, yeah, just not great for us in fantasy.
I mean, today was obviously a very, very, very narrow
win. It was different.
But still, they got the job done when it counted most. Zeke Elliott plunged in for a touchdown late for the Cowboys.
Well, it's really nice because they have both Zeke and Tony Pollard to be able to rely on, and that's nice when you have insurance back like that.
It is. Geico asks, how would you like to have, how would you like a chance to save some money on insurance, Daniel?
I would love it, Field Yates.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
You know, if you're hiring, you know the struggle. Quickly finding the best candidates for your team can seem like an impossible task, but ZipRecruiter makes it easy to find exactly who you're looking for. They're like a talent scout for your team, bringing you the candidates who best fit your needs. Whether it's a civil engineer in New York or a pediatric nurse in Nebraska, an attorney in Colorado, or even a mascot in Missouri, with ZipRecruiter, finding the perfect match is simple. ZipRecruiter makes it easy to find the right person for the job, so let ZipRecruiter narrow down your search. Their powerful matching technology finds the right candidates for you, filter, review, and rates candidates all from one easy-to-use dashboard. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So whether you're ready to build a winning team, let ZipRecruiter help you build the perfect roster. You can try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. That is ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
College football season is heating up, unfortunately winding down as well. And Dr. Pepper and the residents of Fansville invite you to revel in another one-of-a-kind year of flexing your foam finger, humming your school's fight song in your sleep, and thriving on a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip and post-game commentary, all washed down with a rich, delicious Dr. Pepper, of course. Another Saturday is always just around the corner, so make sure your tailgate doesn't turn into a failgate. And pick up a case of ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve.
I got to have you come over so you can have some of Rosie's buffalo chicken dip. It's pretty fantastic. Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
What do you most usually dip into the buffalo chicken?
Pita chips. Pita chips specifically, because they're thick enough to not break. Mm-hmm. The problem with real chips is that they'll break a lot of times. So you need some of the little substance. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, got to have some integrity behind those chips.
Exactly. Speaking of integrity, is there an offense that has more integrity than the Philadelphia Eagles right now, Liz Loza?
What do you think?
I think the Eagles are one of the best offenses for fantasy for numerous reasons. Let's start at the top with their quarterback, who has been unstoppable. Jalen Hurts today, 217 passing yards, 2 touchdowns plus, 77 and another score on the ground. No big deal. Interestingly, you know, I am old enough to remember when Jalen Hurts didn't have a good enough arm to play in the NFL. Well, he's managed multi-touchdown through the air games for 3 straight weeks. In fact, since returning from bye in week 7, he has only had one outing. It was week 11 against Indianapolis, where he managed one passing touchdown, and that was it. And in that game, he also scored on the ground. So NBD, right? I also love this offense because there is a narrow usage tree. Since Dallas Goedert has been sidelined, Devonta Smith has been blowing up. Last week, A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith both cleared 100 yards. This week, they both see similar yardage, find the end zone, and both manage around 17 fantasy points in the ESPN standard scoring format. This is fantastic for fantasy. Oh, and Miles Sanders, I'm sorry he told everyone not to draft him. I hope you didn't listen.
I mean,
He's been awesome. How good has Miles Sanders been?
It's been a ridiculous. Massive surprise.
Top five in the NFL in rushing. He has been tremendous part of that ridiculous 2023 free agent running back class. All well said there by Liz. And they're just a juggernaut. And Liz, next week, you are allowed to take a week off when the Bears play the Eagles.
Oh, wow.
Next week.
Wow.
At Soldier Field, too. That's going to be ugly. Tough.
Is exactly real quick question for you guys, and Liz, knowing you just talked about this, like, is Justin...
Devontae Smith?
No, is Jalen Hurts like the fantasy MVP? Just based on where he was drafted, based on how long you could wait, he was one of the few quarterbacks that if you did wait on,
yeah,
actually did pay off for you. So I wonder, like, is there another player that comes to mind? We'll obviously have this conversation later on. Like, he seems like the far and away MVP to me right now.
He's certainly in the conversation. I think Austin Eckler would have a pretty strong case as well, just sure, because running backs are so valuable, but quarterbacks are as well. Travis Kelce has a pretty thoughtful conversation surrounding him as the MVP this year. Yeah.
Amon Ross St. Brown was also still drafted pretty late, too.
Yeah, and those are good examples right there. Great. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Bills receivers, some other guys.
The whole offense, because, yeah, I mean, shout out Mike Clay, who does an amazing job with the wide receiver cornerback matchups every single week.
Sometimes it's tough to say nice things about Mike, though.
It is. It's a little bit bothersome, too. Yeah. But yeah, the Bills receivers had a tough day today, and this was kind of the perfect storm. So the wintry mix-up in Buffalo, which, you know, we've seen offenses move the football in wintry mixes before, so you can't totally change your lineup decisions. But I think the Bills won the game, to be clear, 20-12. I think the Jets might be the closest team in the NFL to the antidote to the Bills offense. Yep. Because what the Jets can do is they can generate pressure on Josh Allen with four rushers. And because Josh Allen's such a good runner, when you blitz, if he breaks the pocket and gets through pressure, you're screwed. And the Jets can rush with four, and they've got awesome secondary players. They've got great, great cornerbacks, and they gave the Bills all they could handle today. So just 6.7 fantasy points for Stephon Diggs, 6.1 for Gabe Davis, who draw a lot of Sauce Gardner. And with Gabe Davis, while the volume is still okay, like, it has not been the ride we were hoping for Gabe Davis.
No, it hasn't.
He is now under 12 fantasy points in 6 of his last 7 games.
That has been tough.
The boom has not been booming.
I feel like, and this is one of those things, so we've been talking about it. We'll talk about it more as we get deeper into the week, but we've been saying, this is one of those players you got to keep riding the wave. Once you get into the playoffs,
no, I think you could potentially get off.
You can get off the wave, I think.
And we sort of suggested that coming into the week. I had him as a sit, whatever. You know, I do a Sports Center segment every Sunday morning. Who's your avoid player of the week? And mine was Gabe Davis. Like, not all of them have hit, so I'm not trying to sit here and tell you I'm 100, batting 1,000%.
We had still, Gabe, like, Davis in the 30s in a week with 6 teams on a bye.
Right. And already having had a game on Thursday night, obviously, like, he was still like wide receiver 31 on my board coming in today. So, yeah, it's been tough. But I don't think there's a major takeaway for Stephon Diggs. I think the interesting part, though, in this offense, Liz, is the backfield. As remember when it was supposed to be the changing of the guard, and now it's James Cook? To quote Lee Corso, not so fast, my friends.
Well, it is and it isn't, because it may not be James Cook, but it's also not Devin Singletary, right? His touch count has decreased over the past 4 weeks from 20 to 15 to 13 to 9. 8 carries for 39 yards and 1 catch for 4 yards. That's the 9 that we're at right now. So James Cook did not go out and slay, but neither did Devin Singletary. Cook had 4 carries for 6 yards, 1 catch for 9 yards. You didn't really want either of these running backs. And what was particularly interesting, I think, is that when you looked at the weather conditions at home at Orchard Park, you would expect there to be much more rushing, but, you know, it didn't really go that way. You made the point early in the season that even when the Bills should and could, but again, should run, they're going to pass. And, you know, this is, I think, more evidence of that.
Sometimes you just have games like that, and it is really frustrating when it works out this way, because we were really excited. We talked about James Cook and the 20 opportunities that he had last week. Are we going to see any of it here this week?
I didn't buy it, right? Like, I just, before we get in, like, we've seen this before on a couple of occasions. So I think, while Liz is correct, it's not Devin Singletary. I think, though, that there was a groundswell of support suggesting that, James Cook has turned the corner and it could be more of him going forward. And he's a really good player and he has a bright future in Buffalo, but they're committed to a committee.
Do you feel like when I look at the Jets backfield and I want to move over to them?
This one's different.
I think I look at Zonovan Knight and Michael Carter, and we talk about a committee there, and I see somebody, and I realize Michael Carter was banged up all week, came into this week questionable. But they, clearing away, gave Bam Knight a ton of usage again here on the ground, and it feels like he's not someone that's going to go away in this offense.
Correct, and he's the guy that, even though he played three fewer snaps than Michael Carter, when he's playing, he's getting featured. Yep. So he had 34 snaps today, did Bam Knight. He had 19 opportunities, 17 carries and two catches on 34 snaps. So more than 50% of the time, when he's in the game, he's getting the ball. So he looks like the real deal, too. Like, just a good, solid player. Robert Saleh just can't stop saying nice things about this guy. You can tell how much he loves him. And going forward, he's the Jets running back you want to roster. It's not even, it's like not even close.
And so I do want to roster him, but I do want to say, because we talked about this earlier on in the show, this upcoming week, they're going to get the Detroit Lions. And I think with that little bit of a running back by committee, understanding that there are no teams on a bye, Bam is just going to be a little bit lower down that list. But somebody, if you need to, we'll see how injuries work out, too.
Yeah, I just would say that, like, you know, there was a time this year where, you know, maybe James Robinson takes over for Breece Hall. No, it looks like Bam Knight's the guy.
He is the guy.
If I had to play one Jets running back, to me, it is pretty clearly Bam Knight, who, separate and apart from the opportunities, just looks good.
Like, he really does.
Good-looking young player who is functional in the passing game, good runner, powerful, not exactly blow-away speed, but he deserves the opportunities he is getting. Even in a tough matchup next week, he'll be on my flex radar for sure.
100%. All right, let's talk about one more team here, and it's Stefania's 49ers, Liz.
Yes. Well, just a quick update, Liz. Deebo Samuel has what they think is probably a high ankle sprain, according to Kyle Shanahan. Not a break, but, you know, high ankle sprain, not exactly one that you're back from within a week or two, maybe the rest of this regular season. Onward to Liz.
We watched Brock Purdy just look fantastic, it seemed like, in this game. Is there any chance that you're really thinking about maybe Brock Purdy could be fantasy useful down the stretch here, Liz?
Well, I'm a little less interested in him next week, and here's why. Brock Purdy looked like a quarterback that had very little tape available on him to scheme against in one of the most friendly schemes offensively from one of the best quarterback minds, you know, of our time. So I wasn't particularly surprised. Like, what are you expecting from Kyle Shanahan, you know? I yes, it was impressive, but also let's think rationally about this. How else is the opposition supposed to scheme? We know he's going to be in a friendly position. I think, to me, what was less interesting than the 185 yards and the two touchdowns was, well, he also did rush the ball and manage a touchdown on the ground. That I thought was cool. But more than his performance, I thought it was interesting that Brandon Ayuk did not have his name called until Deebo Samuel exited this game. And that was something we discussed earlier, was what is going to happen in terms of the targets here. And I was a little bit worried that without Jimmy Garoppolo vibing with him, Ayuk might see a dip. And it did see, he didn't, you know, he ended up catching 2 of 3 for 57 and he caught a touchdown, but that's not volume I like. And I'm not sure the connection here with Purdy is going to be solid. Now, if Deebo is missing, let's say 4 to 6 weeks, then that's a different story, but that also kind of makes Ayuk, I think, more fantasy friendly because of Debo's absence rather than because of chemistry within an offense that is surging.
Yeah, and I think all of that makes a ton of sense. Yeah. I am with you, though, on the fear with the fact that it was, up until that point, we had not heard Brandon Ayuk's name, and guess what? Still only two catches after that point, so there is some chemistry that has to be built.
He's going to have to be busy with that. And by the way, it's actually a good matchup this Thursday night they play, and I think with Purdy, like, it's an amazing story. I love just, like, sports stories, and we've gotten two great ones in the NFC West specifically this week. Like Baker Mayfield, former number one overall pick, cast off, short week, 48 hours, leads this epic comeback. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick in the draft this past year, and first start ever, going up against Tom Brady, and they just lay waste to the Buccaneers. Like, a great sports story. 21 passing attempts and 21.6 fantasy points. That's an awfully efficient ratio right there for Brock Purdy. So probably not quite on my, you know, streaming quarterback radar. But I tell you what, Christian McCaffrey on Thursday night might set the record for fantasy points. They play the Seahawks, who cannot stop anybody on the ground right now. They have just been so bad defending the run of late. And if no Deebo Samuel is available, no Elijah Mitchell, we'll see some of Jordan Mason, maybe Tyrion Davis Price as well. But it's going to be the CMC show this Thursday night. Cannot wait for that one. The 49ers just look so good right now, but that would take them one step closer to an NFC West title.
I feel like
might clinch it, basically.
This 49ers team, I'm pumped for Stefania. Yeah. We're getting really lucky here on Fantasy Focus with some of our teams this year.
Stefania is going to be so gleeful on Tuesday, which is back on the show.
Yeah. Mike with the Eagles and Stefania with the 49ers. And the Lions are doing some great things.
How about them Lions?
And the Bears have a top five pick next year. Yeah. So
that's their own top five pick.
I don't mind knowing that we have a quarterback. Yep. I do not mind the Bears losing. It was fun to watch Baker Mayfield win in Los Angeles. And
Future's bright.
It's all part of the game. Bright, so Liz. I am happy to let you guys have all of these victories for your home teams. Wait a second. How are the Patriots doing?
Well, I don't really get they're 6-6, so I don't get as much of a home team tag as the two teams that I work for, the Chiefs and the Patriots, and it's like, oh, so the most successful franchise of the past 20 years and the most successful franchise for the next 20 years. Like, pretty great pickings right
pretty,
there.
So pretty lucky for you.
Peacock friend, you deserve to peacock that.
As far as I'm concerned, you are on the Lions bandwagon with our Michigan men group. That's why
Shout out to Michigan men.
That's right. Shout out to them.
All right, and here we are talking Sunday Night Football. Liz, this was supposed to be a shootout where a ton of points were scored between the Miami Dolphins and the Los Angeles Chargers. And instead of that, I feel like we watched Tua Tagovailoa complete, like, I don't know, what, like eight passes? Eight passes for the entire night? Is that about right?
Ten. Close.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it wasn't super fun. What were your big takeaways from watching the Dolphins tonight? Let's start on that side.
You're right, because when we recorded the Wednesday pod, I was still in Bristol. At that point, the highest over-under for the week was the Detroit Lions-Vikings game. And that game delivered, though the point projected total moved down to like 51. This one, meanwhile, Dolphins-Chargers went up to 53. I know that I suggested a lot of people start different players in this matchup because I kept seeing the over-under rise. 17-23. I hope people played the under because 40 was the total. My biggest takeaway was that Justin Herbert is good at football. That shouldn't be a takeaway. I'm not quite sure why it's so controversial, but my man was dealing throughout this game. He was calm. He was working through his progressions. The O-line was not an issue because he knew when to run. He could feel pressure. In fact, here's a fun stat, because Miami was bringing all of it. 26 blitzes faced for Herbert. That's the most in a game in his career. He is 15 of 24 for 133 yards and 8 first downs against the Dolphins blitz, which is evidence of how he was just feeling himself. And here's the giant asterisk. Not only is he fully healthy now, but his biggest playmakers are as well. Kudos to Mike Clay for this tweet. It appears as though Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are, in fact, better than DeAndre Carter and Michael Bandy.
Yeah, they just look like a completely different team with Mike Williams, who had another Mike Williams type of game, over 100 yards and a touchdown. And then you look at Keenan Allen, Liz, and Keenan Allen had literally a Keenan Allen type of game. Yeah. It's like 12 catches for 90 plus yards. I mean, these two wide receivers absolutely helped elevate this offense. Josh Palmer did fall back into that third spot, like we had talked about, with both of these wide receivers being healthy, kind of felt like he would fall back into that role. But it's not just about the receiving core here, Liz. I mean, Austin Eckler also had a pretty decent night here for the Chargers as well.
Well, the beautiful thing about Austin, obviously, is that he sees so much work in the passing game, even when Allen and Williams are both healthy. I mean, he converted all 8 of his looks. I love efficiency for 59 yards. And he saw another 15 carries for 45 and an awesome rushing touchdown in which Chris Collinsworth admitted that he was too little to have the kind of power that he does, but he just burrows and burrows and burrows and finds his way through different holes and like over tacklers 3 times his size. So Austin is a stud and 8 catches in the, like, imagine if you had a running back that had 8 catches and then also got like 6 carries, you'd be thrilled. You'd be like, oh, that's great. Okay. I'll take that. No, 15 carries as well, Freck.
Unbelievable amounts of opportunity. Excuse me. And I think that's part of, you know, Field talked about, you know, he's in that MVP conversation because of his utilization across the board, his volume, high volume across the board, his passing game work across the board. Austin Eckler is just always a stud every single week. Let's talk about the Dolphins, though, really quickly, because I don't know what much else there is to say about the Chargers here. But for the Dolphins, Tua looked bad.
Things in my house are breaking. You can hear like things falling off the shelves in my house when you mentioned it. So I think that that's like the universe and vibes just answering for you. Even my decorations, even my Christmas decorations are falling over when you mentioned Tua. So 10 of 28, 145 and one touchdown. He was sacked twice. This is a blow, right? Like the argument heading into last week's game, obviously a big revenge spot for McDaniel as well, was it was going to be a test for Tua, right? He had knocked off a bunch of tomato cans. He was managing, I think, like almost 8 yards per attempt up until that point. And then we shrugged our shoulders and said his O-line was banged up and, you know, there was a lot going on and that defense was tough. And now we got the Chargers and like, on prime time, did not produce in a big spot, even though if I'm going to say that Herbert was able to deal because he had all these playmakers healthy, like Tyreek Hill had a very interesting touchdown, very heads up play that only accounted for 6 points. Tyreek Hill only converted 4 of 10 for 81. And then that weird, dare I say, fluky touchdown at the top. Jaylen Waddle basically invisible, 2 catches for 31 yards. And Jeff Wilson, who I really thought was in a bounce back spot. Like I thought that last week's Mostert sighting was more, I don't know, more of a mirage or mind games or some McDaniel trying to make Shanahanigans for his old boss. And I think I was right until Wilson exited with a hip injury, but like the Dolphins just came in flat. I wonder if I'm going to make an excuse for the Dolphins, like maybe they played their Super Bowl last week, but I think that's really kind of stretching for them.
Yeah. Yeah. This Dolphins team has not looked in sync the way that they were firing on all cylinders earlier this year. And Jaylen Waddle, basically, as you said, being non-existent, that just can't happen in this offense, especially if you're going to lose Jeff Wilson, if he's going to exit the game in spite of Raheem Mostert being the guy that he is, like, you know, you've got to get him involved. And so this will be something to see the way that the Dolphins respond to this game and this loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. But I don't know what else to really say about it. I'm still going to start Jaylen Waddle. I'm still going to have him ranked.
Of course.
Very high next week. You know, we're going to keep starting Tyreek Hill and we'll see with this backfield, I guess, where Jeff Wilson lands. We'll listen to Stefania and the injury report with how everything falls out. But tough game for the Dolphins tonight.
It's tricky next week too, because the Dolphins travel to Orchard Park and play on Saturday. So short week against, you know, a pretty good defense there.
Yeah.
And different climate, certainly, than Southern Florida.
Yeah, definitely. All right. That's going to do it for tonight. That is going to almost wrap up week 14. We have a Monday Night Football game tomorrow night in which we are talking. Oh, my gosh. It's the Cardinals, Liz. And it is the Patriots. Oh my gosh. I'm so ready. My brain is fried at the end of this week. I'm ready to be on to playoffs. Which is crazy. All right. That's going to do it for us. We will be back on Tuesday. Me, Field, Stefania, Mike Clay, breaking down everything you needed about the waiver wire. We'll bring in our buddy Eric Moody to talk about the waiver wire. We will break down Monday Night Football. It's going to be a really fun week. We're talking playoffs. We're talking like actual fantasy playoffs here coming up this week. So it's going to be a ton of fun. Please don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. You have earned that. We can't wait to see you on Tuesday. Thank you for hanging out with us, not just all season, but also for this week as we head into the depths of the fantasy playoffs. We will see you guys on Tuesday. Who's that? Who's that?
podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail U, a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you. He's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?
He's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? He's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.